Okay. So the topic today is about challenges in our church. This is a very short version of the Servants' Convention that Bishop Youssef did in February in Montreal. I know a couple of people were there, so sorry that you have to hear it again. It's heavily taken from there, but there is some stuff that was kind of tailored and adjusted. If you do want to hear the full sermon or the full weekend, he actually has an app. So I think it's called Bishop Youssef Official, and it's amazing. It's just all sermons, and it's divided by categories. So you'll find the Servants February 2017 convention on there. This is a very short, brief version of like two very full days of topics. So I kind of divided them into categories. So this is challenges that we can say the Orthodox Church is facing, but other churches as well too. And these are also challenges that we're facing in our service. And we thought that this was an appropriate topic. A lot of you guys are either pre-servants or servants, or you know, helping in some way. So this is something that may be relevant. And even if you're not serving in any way possible, that's fine too. You'll still realize the church is going through a lot of stuff. And so maybe it'll help in terms of better appreciating or offering suggestions or being less judgmental sometimes. So the first one is, I think, something we all relate to. It's the busy factor. So it's this constant idea of work, society, technology. I'm not anywhere bad, but I gotta go to work, so I can't come to church, or I gotta work extra hours on a Saturday, so I can't come to liturgy. We see in Luke that busyness is not an excuse. And there's, if you look at Luke chapter 14, there's a list of excuses at verse 24, and busyness is flat out in there. So at the end of the day, when you have to justify yourself in front of God and you try to use the busyness defense, he's already telling you in advance it's not going to fly. And the idea is that the more busy you are, the more you actually need to depend on God. So the busier you are, and now you're taking on more roles, you're getting a job, you're taking on extra courses, you're in a relationship, whatever it may be, the busier you become, you actually need to draw on that energy from God rather than other sources. At the end of the day, the worldly sources are going to be kind of draining and at some point run out. So at least God is consistent. And so it's counterproductive in the sense of you're so busy that you can't come to church, or you can't come to youth, or you can't serve or can't do that. But at the same time, the busyness, you should have kind of that stability and that balance and proportionality in your life. And this is applicable any stage. So whether you're starting university, you're finishing, you're working, whatever you're at, if you have a family or you're still living at home, all these things are still going to be issues that you're facing either way. So the busy factor is a very big one right now. Next one is kind of my favorite. He spent a lot of time on this. It's consumer mentality. So it's kind of this idea of church shopping. So I'm going to shop at the I'm going to pick a church based on who's there, when Abuna finishes communion, how many Abunas are doing communion, the setup. Like, I had somebody tell me, like, well, I prefer this church does communion this way, like they direct traffic this way, so it's a bit more my style rather than this one. It's people laughing because the people that said it to me. But so that's one thing. So it's trying to tailor the church to my needs. So it's okay to say, you know, this one's beside my work, it's quicker to get there, it's more accessible by bus, so I'm going to go there. It's a little different when the goal of my church shopping is my comfort standard. So God's not there for your comfort, per se, in that regard, like a materialistic or worldly comfort. And so it's not a house or a car or a laptop that you're designing. It's, you know, the church, we're lucky to have more than one option here in Ottawa, but the idea shouldn't be that I'm shopping on the church. Am I looking for a church for the right reasons, basically? So church is an invitation. Yep. Church is an invitation, you know, from God to be with him. It's not there to kind of confirm my self-actualization and, you know, be my checklist and being like, yeah, I like this one, they finish earlier. Okay, well, this one, they don't translate the Bible, so I'm going to save like 2.5 minutes there. So those are the types of things that preferably shouldn't be church shopping. And that leads to kind of a similar one, which is, I called it, like Amba Youssef didn't call it squad goals, but I'm titling this section squad goals. So if I'm going to go to a church where people are like kind of in the similar level as me or maybe similar age group, I don't want to go to a church where it's all like older people. I don't want to go to church. So if I'm in a bigger city that maybe has six churches, I don't want to go to the one like downtown because it's like kind of more ghetto. I want to go like the higher end one where everybody like drives nice cars and has the like top of the top phone and everybody's, their kids are in the same like private school as my kids. So am I looking for being around comfort? So again, it goes back to the idea of comfort. So these people like to do the same stuff that I like to do. I'm going to go to this church because they typically go to sushi every, like, you know, weekend afternoon. This one, they seem to be more on the, like, prayer tesbihan. No, not my style. So again, kind of tailoring towards that. This church has more people my culture or the opposite. I want to escape my Egyptian culture, so I'm going to go to this church because there's less Egyptians at this church. So to see the work of the Holy Spirit, it really requires unity, and you're not going to get that when everybody is literally copy-paste. So if you go to a church where it's literally everyone is kind of same age group, and eventually when you all have kids, they all go to the same private school, and they all play in the same teams and this and that. So it's nice to have common interests, but my church shouldn't be primarily everyone's like a cookie-cutter version of me. So everything, obviously, as you know, moves fast around us. Like, say you're watching a video on Facebook. Like, I don't know if you guys do the same thing, but, like, you start the video and then, like, hasn't even been, like, 8 seconds yet. And then you're, like, kind of looking, like, when is this going to end? And it's not even, like, a 40-second video. So, and we multitask. So we'll be on our phone, check Facebook, and then check it on the computer because, like, you know, maybe something didn't appear on one versus the other. And so this multitasking is resulting in this boredom that we're seeing now. With the youth, with the younger kids, even same thing with the adults. So it's a huge challenge in our faith. We're not seeing it as much with the older adults because you don't see them like, you can't really generalize, but like I can speak for my parents, like it's like my mom's texting and you know it's like, you know, it's very slow and she's not like looking at her laptop and watching TV and doing like three other things at the same time. So when they're doing something, they're doing that specific thing. They're not doing like four other things at once. So what we're seeing as a result in terms of like kids and youth and whatnot is more, you know, liturgy is too long, it's too boring, it's always kind of the same thing. And so even now kids' TV shows, like if you watch cartoons, you'll notice they go like from scene to scene. You can never have like a 30-minute TV show or a 22-minute TV show that's all kind of in the same kind of background. So it always flips from scenes to scenes. And even in your career sometimes, like if you've ever had a chance to do a co-op at the government, you'll notice people hop around a lot. Or people are encouraged to try different careers. Oh, I'm going to do a year of this in university. If I don't like it, I'll try this. If I don't like it, I'll try this. So there's this encouragement to always like try and vary it up and not really commit to anything. And then we see that too with people like upgrading their cars all the time. So do I have to have the most brand new Honda Civic every year the minute it comes out, or the newest iPhone, or the newest Samsung, or this probably won't be as relative to you guys right now, but we see it as you'll get older, is do I have to keep upgrading my house every time like I get a raise at work, or if I'm having a new baby, do I have to keep getting an additional room? You know, back in the days, I don't know if you guys remember, but a lot of us shared rooms with our siblings, right? And most of us turned out fine, and we'd be two or three in a room, and it was okay. But now, all of a sudden, the newer generation has these expectations of each kid. Before the kid is born, I need to now buy a bigger house because that kid needs their own room, their own nursery. They can't share a room with their sibling, etc. So it's this constant idea of change all around. So that's the kind of the squad goal one. The fourth one is a challenge of reinventing the wheel. So we often hear that the church must become, you know, in a certain way to survive. And we're not supposed to really ask if the church or Christ is relevant to our age or society, but rather ask if our changing world is relevant to God. So Christianity isn't an ideology of a philosophy, because those things change often. So if you look at laws, for example, they change based on society. So sorry for anybody who was downtown or may have been on social media, they may have seen there was like the march for the abortion stuff. You know, a long time ago, that wasn't an issue. Or a long time ago, homosexuality you know, was considered an illness, and it was against the law, and then society has changed, and now it's built into the law. So the laws kind of change based on what society wants. So if society says something is okay, if you look back, you'll notice that laws are changing throughout. If you ever get a chance to study law or take a law course or whatever, when you're looking at cases, if you read cases from like 30 years ago, what you'll notice is the big stuff is generally decided by at least like six or nine judges, usually. And there's always a minority. Like there's one or two who says like, no, I don't agree, but the majority would agree on something. If you look at them now, it's kind of changed, right? So you'll look back and what the minority was back in the days has now become the majority and vice versa. So if we take the homosexuality example, a long time ago, you'll have one or two judges out of the nine saying, you know, I don't agree, I think it should be fine, or I don't think it should be illegal, whatever. Over time, when you read the case today, you'll now realize the minority has slowly become the majority. And the majority view from back in the days of this should be a sin, or this should be illegal, or whatever, has become the minority. So all to say, society is always changing based on laws. And Christ is supposed to be suitable for every age or society or culture, except for the culture of sin. So the more sin kind of takes on form into the world, the less it seems like God is relevant. The fifth challenge is this idea of like, you know, hashtag YOLO, hashtag do you, be independent, you know, we're strong, you can do this on your own, you don't need anybody. So this gets in the way of us submitting. So we want to be our own gods. And if we look in Revelations, there's a verse in chapter 3 that says that God was talking about kind of being like two-faced, and Uncle did a lesson on this at the beginning of the year. But God has said, you know, I'll vomit you out. So either be hot, either be cold. So either be good, either be bad. But don't be this two-faced that puts on this show. And at church, I'm at one person, and by Sunday, you know, by Sunday night, I'm a totally different person. And when God was talking about this church in Revelations, that was the church that self-ruled. So it's about doing, you know, it's my way or the highway. If this works for me in a relationship or at work or whatever, it's great. If it doesn't, see you later. Like, do you and I'll do me sort of approach. So that, again, you may see that in church, and that's a challenge the church is facing when somebody doesn't like something or a certain rule. And we're talking about big stuff. We're not talking like, if we started using electric candles versus, you know, oil lamps back in the days, that's not really a significant difference. It's not going to change anything. We're talking about big stuff where people start saying, well, why don't we cut out this part of the liturgy because it's not really relevant? Or why don't we do this way? Or why don't we have this person take on this role in the church? The sixth one is gender roles and sexual freedom. So we don't talk about it often, but you know, people do struggle with certain things. It could be pornography. It could be this idea of sexual freedom. Gender roles that we see in the world now are definitely different from way back when. And this is something, obviously, the church struggles with as well. The last one I wanted to mention is kind of this inability to commit or lack of commitment. And we see that in service. We see that with youth. We see that with adults. Options are a problem. So we think the more options I have, the easier life is. If I'm getting ready in the morning and I only have to choose between, you know, three pairs of pants and three pairs of shoes, it's a lot easier than if I have to choose between, you know, 20 pairs of pants and 20 pairs of shoes. So we think options are good, and we think the more money I have, the more stuff I can buy and life becomes more convenient. But it's actually the opposite problem. So think of, you know, when you go shopping and you feel like, you know, I don't have anything, or there's nothing in the store for me. Or when I look in my closet in the morning and there's nothing to wear, but, you know, it's piling up everywhere. There's a mountain on the chair in my room, but I have nothing to wear. I can guarantee you if you had just a couple shirts and a few pairs of pants, you would find something to wear and it wouldn't be as stressful in the morning. So that's another thing, is the option. So going back to the example of having, you know, say multiple churches in a city, for example, I think it's a blessing. But sometimes options cause a bit more stress for us, or we already make, you know, hundreds of decisions a day without even realizing it. So this is kind of one more decision that we have to make. So that's what I had in terms of summing up the challenges. Like I said, it's 2 days of a convention summed up in, I don't know, 20 minutes. We're going to probably break up in three groups. Yeah. So we'll break up in three groups, and each group will have two of the challenges. And we want to kind of discuss solutions and what we can do about it. And if you agree these things are a problem or you completely disagree. This is not high school. It's not like we're not choosing teams like do like three leaders and you pick your teammates. Mariam, no. Guys, okay, we'll do this the old school way. Here, I'm gonna. I'll give you a number.
Guys, before we divide, can I say something? Guys, please. So guys, please, just like we're gonna, it's 9:30, so we're gonna maybe take 15 minutes each group to discuss, and then we're going to convene and for another maybe 10 minutes where each group is going to pick someone to just like give us what they think. So please, we try to do everything in a spirit of like, you know, we enjoy a spirit of fun, but also those are real challenges to our life. If you are servants or pre-servants, they are. If you say, I don't care because I don't serve at church, huh? Guys, listen to me. If you don't care, one day you're going to be a father or a mother. And why are you just like... One day you're going to be parents. And those challenges, you're not going to just like let go of. Like, you know, they are real challenges. So you will be involved. You will be just like, you know, what do I do? So try to everyone just like, you know... focus and while we divide, it's not just about having fun sitting together, just like, you know, let's try to be serious, okay? So the first group was what, purple?
Who didn't get one on that roll? I told you sparkle, Yusuf. Pink. Yusuf, sparkle, shine like a diamond. Okay, so if you are pink, please go to that corner there. Can we like not start moving because I'm going to announce your topics and I don't want 30 people coming to ask me what their topic is. So pink over there, you're going to focus on the busyness factor and the consumer mentality. So pink is focusing on I'm too busy and consumer mentality. So I shop to kind of pick a church that accommodates and fits my needs. So that's pink. Purple is going to be in this corner here. And they're going to focus on the squad goals. So the idea of finding a church where people are similar to me. Guys, you live together. Talk at home. And purple will also focus on reinventing the wheel. So this idea of like constant change. And is it good to kind of keep up to date or do we keep things old school? Sparkle is going to sparkle in the middle. And they will focus on this idea of independency, like do you, YOLO kind of thing. The inability to commit, and the sexual freedom cultural problems.
Okay. Just like, because we don't have, like, you know, paper and pen, just like, use your
technology.
Take notes, and then someone is going to come and tell us what you are thinking. Can we move on, please?
I am here for those who aren't listening and need to re-ask me again.
So guys, we're gonna just convene again, please. Guys, come join. There is the three pews in the middle here. You can go there. So each group is gonna pick one or two person to present the two challenges and the what you see as there's. People are hyper today. What's wrong? You haven't started to eat the wings. So, you guys want to start? Maybe. Who wants to come from this group and Martel? They elected you.
Okay, so we did two topics. The first topic we did was being too busy for a church, and the second topic was our consumer mindset when it comes to church. The busyness topic was pretty straightforward. Sometimes we don't come to church because we're too busy with school. Sometimes we don't come to church because we have a lot of work to do, and we're just consumed with all the work that we have, and we end up neglecting our spirituality, and so we decided that our solution would be developing our priorities. And basically, if we want to come to church and prioritize our spiritual life, then we're going to end up waking up whenever we want and whenever we need to come to Sunday Mass or even to stay on Saturday for Tasbiha. On that note, there's a lot of peer pressure in terms of what functions in church we choose to go to and which ones we neglect. Some things are considered normal to go to, and other things are kind of like the exception, and one of those exceptions was Tasbeha. And so for the consumer mindset, we said that picking a church based on convenience is okay, as long as there's no determining factor like your friends being the definitive thing, like you're going to a church solely because your friends are going. But if your friends just so happen to go to the same church and that helps you develop a strong spiritual life, then we thought that it was okay. And so if you're not depending on your friends, going to a church for your friends is okay. So it's good that we have options and different churches. And there's the underlying issue when we show up late and everyone has to Yeah, and that was it.
I wanted to ask a question to the group. No, it's okay. To the group, either over there, I don't know if it came up in your discussions, or to everyone in general. When we talked about the busyness factor, I touched upon the youth telling the servants, oh, we're busy. Do you guys have creative solutions where, say, one of the servants texts the youth and says, hey, you know, youth group Friday night, we can pick you up, whatever, and they say, no, I'm busy with school, and it's a constant, I'm busy with school every week, and then in the summer, it's, no, I'm busy, I'm away, etc. Do you guys prefer or find it a solution that the servant kind of keeps after, or do you guys see it as nagging and prefer something else or prefer a servant to back off? Just specifically referring to us here, but it's obviously something that comes up and is a challenge the church is facing. Do you guys find it annoying, like, say, if the servant's like constantly like messaging or checking in, or you constantly always feel like you have to find an excuse, or do you find the busyness factor sometimes it affects your decision to come or prioritize when you do have somebody checking in regularly?
When we were younger, there's a lot of servants that were always checking up on me,
And I don't know if it was the same with you guys. I kind of got annoyed, but it was like a love-hate. Like, I kind of enjoyed seeing their text or whatever, their emails. So maybe it's a similar experience that we have. You still want to see the emails and the nagging, because otherwise it would be a very, like, distant relationship, so...
So this reminds me to just, like, bring something to your attention. And we as servants sometimes, like, you know, we also, like, you know, are busy with our life. And we sometimes, like, you know, we find that, oh, it was maybe such a long time and we did not check on this or on that person. So I'm going to ask you to just, like, always keep an eye if, let's say, in a group like this, you know, there is someone who showed up that you haven't seen for a long time. It's not only the servant's responsibility to care for this person, to be honest with you. Some friends come here and then, you know, they are not really, like, you know, they don't feel welcome that much, and then they end up just, like, not wanting to come again. So this question of us checking on each other, it's not just, like, you know, up to Uncle Samir or Nardine or Mima to check, and if they don't check, oh, like, you know, there's something wrong. Like, we need all to feel like we're organs in one body, and then if you see someone who just, like, you know, shows up every now and then, just, like, please make an effort to go and make them feel welcome. Right? Okay.
Let's move on.
So our first topic or issue that we discussed was Gold Squad.
Gold Squad? Better?
Squad Gold. So for a prime example, please avert your eyes to the back for our lovely squad. So the issue with it that, as far as we understand it, is choosing a church based on the people that go there. And we kind of had two conclusions based on the scenario. So the scenario, as I understood, was having two churches that are both spiritually fulfilling your needs, and one of them has people that you connect with, and that allows you to grow more in fellowship with that church as opposed to the other church that you don't kind of connect that well with the congregation. So I think our conclusion to that was that's okay to choose that church, just not exclusively. On the other hand,
Okay. So we said on the other hand is that we can't all be the same. And I was there for Bishop Yusuf's servants convention, and he was saying how we all need to be like one. Like, we have to be in a boat, but we can't, if we are all the same, then we're not letting in the world, we're not affecting the world, because we're all just intertwined with each other, we're all cliques within each other, and we're not affecting the world, we're not a light to the world. So our solution to these two points was that, in the end, like, you need your fellowship to keep you focused on the church. But you should always have your eye, like, the real goal is God. Like, okay, I'm going to go to church because my friends are encouraging me, but they're encouraging me to what? They're encouraging me to go to Mass. Like, yeah.
The second solution. But if it was, we won. So the first solution, to summarize, was that focusing on God, that should be your main goal, not your squad. And the second solution, in our opinion, is that you shouldn't be exclusive to one church. So to use Ottawa as an example, you have St. Mary's and St. George's, and they both have sort of the same youth percentage, as in, like, both churches have the elder people, the youth, the younger, and the very young kids. So in our opinion, you could choose a church for your spiritual needs, for, say, your abunas or your father of confession, But on the other hand, you shouldn't be just exclusive to it and try to like unite all the churches. We're not going to just one church and being exclusive, but grow in fellowship in both.
Yes, Monica? Very good question.
I will take any other offers to answer the question. However, I'll just give my opinion. My opinion is it's all the house of God at the end of the day, but I think some stability is good in that sense if it's for the right reasons. So if it's maybe, you know, like you guys said, for Father of Confession, or whatnot, that's fine, but I think it's all God's house, so I don't think it should matter if I'm here or there or whatnot, unless you guys meant it in a different perspective. But we were talking about shopping for the church. I think more you guys answered it more for squad goals, like for shopping just based on I want everyone to be in the same social class as me, and when I'm older I want them to have their kids in the same private school like me. I don't want to socialize with people who put their kids in public school or don't drive, you know, same car as me or have the same job as me. Like, I want everyone to be similar to me because it's just more convenient that way. Did you guys talk at all about reinventing the wheel? Or did your squad just focus on the squad goals? Okay. Did you guys get anywhere or even anyone about the balance or if it's important or not between the church constantly reinventing the wheel? So even if we use like these monitors, you know, they weren't here 30 years ago, these monitors. So is it good to reinvent the wheel or is it good to kind of keep things as it was back in the days?
We said that like there's a difference between like what there's change that could be for the better. So like this is, you know, it makes me pay more attention. Or the candles, the electronic, the real ones or whatever. But there is the doctrine change. That doesn't change. That's our church. If we start to change that, then we're, where are we? Yeah.
Do you think more people would come if we had like a drive-through communion service? A drive-through communion service. You see now drive-through pharmacies, drive-through for your coffee. Do you think that if we tailored convenience, we would get more people?
I would like to say that quality is better than quantity. So quantity, your time is less, but what's the quality? Like you don't. You're doing this. You don't understand what's happening. You don't, like, you're not. God doesn't want you to come eat His body and blood. You're doing it for yourself. And if you don't understand, you're the one who's losing. Let's
see. Sparklers.
Guys, I just wanted to add one little thing here. Speaking of Monica's question about just like going to different churches, and I don't see, as Nardine said, I don't see anything wrong with that. But in the human body, look at how God created us and tell me about maybe one organ or even one cell that has no role in that body. There isn't. So you need to be like a viable member in that big body of the church. So it's not only about just like going to a church that pleases you. You have to come to a point where you ask yourself a question. What is my role in this big body? And you have to be serious about it. Right?
Bessem and Amir, the ones that came late. Can all three of you help each other? That's okay. Don't listen to them. Sammy's not talking. Because, yeah. Yusuf. I know he was here. Yale Yusuf. Mina, Mark, any takers? Mina, Choi. I just want everyone to know that this group is holding up the wings, and the wings are fresh and hot, and they're done. So they better just pick two speakers. You can blame them for the cold wings and fries. You're too kind.
I can hold it first. Oh, I don't want to get you sick. Okay. First off, excuse my voice. I'm a bit sick. I know it's really attractive, but the first topic we had was the independence, the kind of over independence that we have in society, and the way I saw it was. I think there's a fine line between loving yourself in terms of like knowing who you are as like a child of God and knowing that like you're not worth nothing, and that's not like what humility is and whatnot. And then as opposed to how the world subconsciously teaches us that we are our own God, that we don't need anyone else, that we rely on ourselves, and that like we like the whole like it's your life, it's your body, it's your this and your that. That you don't have to take account like anyone else's feelings, or you don't have to think about your consequences or your future in terms of like YOLO and stuff. It's the whole living in the moment as opposed to thinking of the future. I don't know if we came up with a solution for that one, but I'll come back to it. This second thing that we talked about was. About the sexual freedom, and it's something that's definitely not as taboo as it used to be. I remember, like when I was a kid, like you never heard about sex at all. Like the closest thing you heard about it was that when mom and dad get married, they have a baby. Like that's all you heard. But nowadays, like kids are learning sex ed in school, and I've seen some churches have a sex ed curriculum for kids as young as grade 4, which we discussed. As like a good solution, because nowadays kids are more exposed to things in the media like music and TV and all video games even. They're more exposed to all that stuff. So I think part of the solution is educating our kids from the perspective of the Bible and from the perspective of the Orthodox Church, not our culture, because our culture sometimes ruins a lot of things. I think another thing is when we talk about like same-sex issues or all these things that are more prevalent in like our discussions today, I think another solution would be to talk about it as something, like we tend to usually talk about these things as if they're issues that are dealt with outside of the church and not within the congregation. So I think part of it is acknowledging that these problems are something that exist within our church, and that first and foremost, all of these people are human beings and they are God's children, and like you have to approach it by love and not judgment.
I just want to add that we talked about, like, it's great to talk to a child about these things, but it's important to talk to them about it first, because once a child hears something, like, that's automatically their reference. So if they hear about sex at school, then suddenly they'll compare it to that. They'll compare whatever the parents say to that. So we want to be the first reference. So whenever they see something bad, they already know what's the good, or what do we believe.
I don't know if we really came up with a solution for the independence thing. I think as Christians, we have to realize that like we're nothing without God. At the end of the day, at the end of the day, God is who we fall back on, and he's the one that gives us our personalities and our strengths and all these things, so that whenever you do accomplish something or you're succeeding in an aspect of your life, it's all because of God, and it's not yours. It's not your doing. Does anyone else in the group want to add?
I just think we have a problem with like initiating these kinds of conversations. Like, I find these conversations come up when, like, you see that one of the children is like struggling with that. I think there should be times where these conversations are initiated. So, like, the servant will be like, "This is what the